Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Text 176 and 177. And 177 is written on the board because there is a purport by Srila Prabhupada. So I first read the first verse, 176. So that's the wrong one. Bhukti mukti sprihaya vat pishachi ridi vartate. Bhukti mukti sprihaya vat pishachi ridi vartate. Tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katham abhyudayo bhavet. Translation. The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like a ghost. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. Purport, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 1. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Text 177. Sadhana Bhakti Hoiti Haya Ratira Udaya. Rati gada hoile tara prema nama khaya. Sadhana bhakti. The process of regularly rendering devotional service. Haite. From. Haya. There is. Ratira. Of attachment. Uddaya. The awakening. Rati. Such attachment. Gadha. Excuse me. Gadha hoile. Becoming thick. Tara. Of this. Prema. Love of Godhead. Nama. The name Kaya is said. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead. Purport, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives the following information about sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana bidha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam ridi sadhyata. The process of devotional service, beginning with chanting and hearing, is called sadhana bhakti. This includes the regulative principles that are intended to awaken one to devotional service. Devotional service is always dormant in everyone's heart, and by the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. This awakening to Krishna consciousness is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This can be divided into many different parts, including faith, association with devotees, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service under the instructions of a spiritual master, steadiness in devotional service, and the awakening of a taste for devotional service. In this way, one can become attached to Krishna and his service. And when this attachment is intensified, it results in ecstatic love for Krishna. The word rati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Vyaktam masmate vantar lakshyate rati lakshanam mumukshu prabriti nam chet bhavet isha ratir nahi. When a tenderness of the heart is manifest, there is rati, or attachment. Those who are interested in being liberated from material bondage must manifest this tenderness called rati. This attachment is not like material attachment. When one is liberated from material contamination, the awakening of attachment for Krishna's service is called rati. In the material world, there is attachment for material enjoyment, but this is not rati. Transcendental rati can be awakened only on the spiritual platform. Ecstatic love for Krishna, prema, is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Samyam masrinita swanto mamatvachyankitaha bhavasa eva sandratma buddhai prema nigadhyate. When the heart is completely softened and devoid of all material desires, and when one's emotional feelings become very strong, one becomes very much attached to Krishna. Such purified emotion is known as pure love. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this chapter, it is entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, and he did that for 10 days on a row in a place, Prayag. And Rupa Goswami, he expressed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wanted to write on bhakti. But if someone wants to write on bhakti, he has to be empowered by the Lord himself. You cannot just write transcendental literature, Krishna conscious literature. And so thus the Lord started to instruct Srila Rupa Goswami. And we have two verses today. 176 and 177. And the first verse describes, I can repeat the verse again. The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches. And they hound one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The previous verses were also about this, about material desires, karma kanda, jnana kanda, and the desire for liberation, that they are obstructing, they are blocking the progress in devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya is instructing Rupa Goswami, and we are all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and we are also called Rupanugas, were followers of Rupa Goswami, because he wrote wonderful literatures on the science of Krishna consciousness. And for example, the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, mentioned here in the Purport of Lord by Srila Prabhupada, the Nectar of Devotion. And so these literatures are very important to us. We should study them very well, and they will show us the way very systematically, all the rules and regulations, all the principles, all the, and it goes very high. When you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you come to very, very confidential knowledge, very, advanced spiritual information about different emotions that come when one experiences love of God like that. You know, that is a little too far for most of us. I know that when I'm reading the, especially in the beginning, when I started reading the Nectar of Devotion, I was a little, I couldn't understand anything of it. Of course, there are some things that are understandable by everyone, like the qualities of Krishna, wonderful, you know. And of course, sadhana bhakti, we can understand that. The beginning, the following the rules and regulations. And also the rules and regulations followed in deity worship, in the temple, so many instructions are there. But the verse today, this verse, is talking about two witches. Two witches. And the first witch is material desire, to enjoy the material world. That is a problem to all the living entities in the material world, except for the Nitya Siddhas, the liberated souls, you know. They have no problem with that. But we have problems with that. And then the other witch is the desire for liberation. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 44, Krishna states, Bhogaishvaraya prasaktanam taya pariyachetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samado navidiyati. In the minds of those who are too attached to material enjoyment and to sense enjoyment and material opulences, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So in the minds of who? In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and to material opulence, these two things. What does not take place in the mind of those? The resolute determination for devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the principle. And yeah, we have to understand there is another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter, text 22. There Krishna says, Yehi sangsparsaja bhoga dukkha yonaya eva te adyanta vanta kauntiya nateshu ramate buddha jai shishirara gopinath. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So sense gratification or the sense objects are called the sources of misery. And that is the nature of the material world. You know, we think we enjoy, but that's Maya. That's what not is. It's not what it seems. You know, it's actually misery, and we think we can get some pleasure out of it. That is one of the basic principles of spiritual life. Even in other religions, they talk about that. In Buddhism, the life is suffering, and we have to get rid of that. You know, and Christianity also. In all religions, they say that. So, the sources of misery, and an intelligent person, buddhi, real intelligence, he does not take delight, does not delight in them. So, because we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the senses, we are not the intelligence, we are not all those things. And that is lesson one in spiritual life. You know, we heard that millions of times already in all those years in ISKCON. But we can never hear it enough, because Maya is so powerful that over and over again we think, I make some advancement, but then the next moment, oh my God, I need this, I need that, I think I need it. Some kind of sense gratification. So that is, we always worry about the body and the mind and possessions and whatever, you know. Fearing, you know. We fear. And this world is a place of fear. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. There is no anxiety, there is no fear. But here, always like that. So intelligent person, he does not do. Therefore, but even if one becomes a devotee, if one has some slightly tinge of these desires, then that is a problem. In the Bhagavad Gita, the last text of the second chapter, Krishna says, Esha brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimuyati stit vasyam antakali pi brahma nirvanam richati. This is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, so what? This is the way of the spiritual and godly life. But what is the way of the spiritual and godly life? That he says in the verses before that verse. He says, apurjamanam achalapratishtam samudram apaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnotina kama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires which enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always calm, he alone can attain real peace. You know? And then the next verse is, Vihaya kamandya sarva pumams charati nispriya nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigachati. A person who doesn't have sense gratification, who is free from all desires, who is free from false ego, who has no sense of false proprietorship. Yeah, I think I mentioned them all. He can attain peace, but the person who strives to all these things, not. It's not possible. So that is the way of the spiritual and godly life. So otherwise, it's not possible. You cannot mix both. Therefore, Queen Kunti, she prays the prayers of Queen Kunti. They are very famous. Srila Prabhupada even wrote a whole book. The prayers of Kunti. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And she is praying to Krishna that people who are too much attached to sense gratification and worldly opulence, almost the same as the Bhagavad Gita verse, they cannot approach you with sincere feelings. Yeah. You know. And then she even says, please give me material problems and take away this sense gratification opulence and give me some miseries. Then I can become attached to you. Then I really seek shelter in you and, you know, full surrender. Like Draupadi, she went, hey Govinda, her arms in the air, and then Krishna says, okay, now I'll give you what you need. And he applied unlimited length of sari because they wanted to strip her in the public from her clothes. Terrible thing. And Krishna saved her. So when I heard that for the first time, that Queen Kunti was praying for miseries, you know, I got really scared. Ooh, I was very scared for miseries, you know, in this world. Disease, pain, you know, sometimes they torture people, and I think if that would happen to me, very scary, eh? But these things happen. But Queen Kunti didn't care about these things. She was completely detached, very advanced, you know. That is a very, very high, high level. And there are... what we have to learn from this verse is that you can't mix material sense gratification, material opulences, these things, desire for liberation even, it goes a step further. It's like when someone is becoming a little bit intelligent and he starts to figure out, yeah, you can't really enjoy in this world. We are doomed, you know, to suffer, and ultimately you die, and it's horrible, it's absurd, you know, like that. Then one can become a jnani. He is intelligent. He starts to study the Vedic literatures, Gyanakan, and, you know, but he has a motivation. I want to get out of this place, and I want to become liberated. And then Prabhupada calls it always, that what the jnanis are doing. What is their business? Mental speculation. They speculate on what is the absolute truth. And the highest platform of understanding they can achieve is Brahman realization. But they cannot come to Krishna consciousness. They cannot have Bhagavan realization, the highest spiritual realization. Varanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. After very thoroughly, scrutinizingly studying the Vedic literatures, the wise man, the sages, they came to the conclusion that the absolute truth is realized in three levels. But they are all one substance, undifferentiated, spiritual. They are all the absolute truth. They are different aspects. But the highest is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Vesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Pasate Sharavan Pariyopitas Thime Yukta Tamumata. I consider those who become my devotees and always worship my personal form, I consider them to be most perfect. That really defeats the Mayavadis, isn't it, this verse? You know, Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita. How can you interpret the Bhagavad Gita and say that? No. Yes, Prabhupada says, as it is, Krishna, that is the most perfect, the one who worships personal form of God, nothing impersonal. So you can't mix. You can't mix the material desires and spiritual desire. Of course, there is something like Mishra Bhakti. Mishra Bhakti, people approach the Lord for something material. That is there in most religion, you find that. And that's pious. Chatur Vida Bhajantimam Jana Sukriti Arjuna. Krishna says, four kinds of pious people approach me. The one who is in misery, he wants to get relief from his misery. The one who is poverty stricken, he is in want of something, he is suffering also, he comes to Krishna. And one who is very curious by nature, he can come to Krishna out of curiosity. And then also the one who is searching for absolute spiritual knowledge. That is considered to be the most advanced of the most self-motivated person. The less self-motivated person. But so that called me also, so we can do that, but the highest type of bhakti is called Uttama Shuddha Bhakti, no? It's called Amala Bhakti, Ekanta Bhakti, you know, there's many terms in Sanskrit which say that that is the pure, unmotivated, unselfish, it's only out of love, pure love for Krishna. So that's what we are looking for. There is also, in other religions, you find this principle that you can't have two things. Of course, yeah, I was saying you can't mix them. A very simple analogy is fire and water. Fire and water you can't mix. You know, of course, if they have the right distance to each other, they can influence each other, like water can extinguish fire, or fire can evaporate water, you know. But if you mix them, that's a problem. That it's not possible. And similarly, Lord Jesus, he is teaching. I would like to do something. He in the Bible, I made a little copy from the Sermon on the Mount, the preaching of Jesus to the disciples. I guess a very large crowd was there. And it's very beautiful. Let me read this out. Jesus is teaching about money and possessions. Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty. Yeah, this is called Ashashvatam. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It's temporary nature. Everything is temporary. Okay. They get rusty. And where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. Krishna Loka. Yeah, okay. Heaven could be another heaven, but Swarga. So, but I guess he means the Vaikuntha. Where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty, and where they will be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Where is our heart? Is our heart with something else or with Krishna? That's the question. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. But an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. Srila Prabhupada also says, our eyes, Lord Brahma says it in the Brahma Sanghita, should be anointed with the salve of love. Pure eyes, the eyes to see God. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In the Bible it says mammon. I guess it's Hebrew, and it means Mammon. Okay. Thank you very much. Hebrew scholars we have here even. Okay, Mammon, yeah, money. Huh? Okay, Sanskrit word would be something like Hiranya, from Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means money, gold, material, opulence, and what means Kashipu? Comfort, sex life, soft cushions, literally, I think, soft cushion, and, you know, yeah. So these are the things. If we want to serve this, the master who provides these things, the master as Maya, want to serve Krishna, you can do both. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink and clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns, because your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Atato brahmajigyasa, the human form of life is more valuable than the animal form of life. You are more valuable, Jesus says, to the humans than the animals. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Yeah, Solomon is a great, wealthy king. So he is dressed in very fancy garments, you know. And Jesus compares the lilies, the flowers created by God on the field, as far more beautiful. And they don't have to do anything like that. So this reminds me of a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayantu mam ye jana paryupasate. Let me see. I forgot always the third line of this verse. Tesham nityab yuktanam yoga kshimam vahamayaham. But those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what I lack and preserve what they have. When I read this first sometime, I got this realization. I'm a grihastha, you know, and always worrying about paying the bills. And this verse really comforted me and gave me some feeling like, yes, why make such a fuss in the mind, you know, about worrying? Krishna will take care. Have a little faith in Krishna, I told my mind. That's what we have to do, talking to our mind. Don't worry, have some faith in Krishna, you know, because he will carry what we lack and he will preserve what we have. Isn't that wonderful? But now we go and try to serve this institution and that and the government and some rich guy, and we think we will be safe. But one day Krishna might take everything away. Okay, let's finish Lord Jesus' sermon. And why worry about your clothes? Oh, that I had. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing, like the six Goswamis. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day. If you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, etc., etc. Okay, let me see what else. Oh, Krishna. I think I prepared this class for 2 hours. It has to last 2 hours, I guess. That's because I'm not in the routine. I don't give class very often, so I get carried away by preparing the class. It's fun preparing a class. Okay. Of course, in Christianity, some of these There were great saintly persons like Saint Francis of Assisi, and some orders of monks and nuns came from there. And of course, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, including Rupa Goswami, we're talking about today about him, and they are the perfect example of giving up material sense gratification and surrendering to God. And the pure devotee, he is transcendental to material poverty and wealth. Srila Prabhupada had nothing when he came to America. And he said, yes, when Krishna is very merciful upon someone, he will take everything away from him. He says, but so I could completely surrender to the Lord and carry out the instructions of my spiritual master and get rid of the encumberment of family life. And but now look, there is millions of dollars to spend. Krishna gave again a lot of material. Yeah, to build temples, to print books, and the cars and vans that the devotees drive around to spread Krishna consciousness. And so Yukta Vairagya is a principle that is also taught by Rupa Goswami, that we can use everything in Krishna's service if we are very advanced. And there is also in the 10th canto beautiful lila about devotees who were very poor, but Krishna blessed them, like Sudama Vipra. Sudama was so poor that his children were very skinny and they had nothing to eat practically. And can you imagine? He was a friend of Krishna, Sakyaras. You know, he was a schoolmate of Krishna. I think he went to the same school. Sandipati Muni was the teacher, the guru. And you know, and he was so poor, he had nothing. But he is transcendental to that. He is completely not attached to anything material. He's always in ecstasy and bliss. You know, these miseries can't touch him. But one day his wife was complaining a little bit, as wives do usually. Yeah, okay. Okay, in Kali Yuga the husband is complaining to the wife all the time. Okay, I'll make it up for you. So the wife was complaining, it's not for me, the wife said, but for our children. You have to do something. And I remember that you have a wonderful friend, the most wonderful friend, the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, the best friend, Krishna. Please go to him, to Dwaraka. And maybe just by going there, you know, we will be blessed. Sudama said, that's a great idea, Krishna, yeah, why not? He became very enthusiastic. And he said, we have to present something to Krishna. We have to give him a present. What should we give him? We are so poor, we have nothing to give him. Krishna is the greatest, the most opulent. He lives in 16,108 palaces. Okay, what can I give him? So then he remembered something. Krishna was always so fond of chip rice. And he had a little chip rice. That's the cheapest thing you can find anywhere. Krishna, yeah, he happens to like that. So then Sudama Vipra said, I have to wrap it in some nice present paper or something. But we don't even have that. So what to do? And then his wife said, I have something. My sari. The only sari she had. And she ripped it apart, a piece of her sari with a golden embroidery, something fancy. And put the chip rice in there, and then Sudama went off. And he was so much in ecstasy just by the idea that he was going to meet his old friend Krishna. And then when he came to the palace, he was received with the greatest hospitality by Krishna. And he came to the palace where Krishna was with his foremost queen, with his Rukmini Devi. And he came there, and Krishna, he received him Oh, my friend has come, my old school friend, Sudama. And he put him on a throne, and he started to wash his feet, and, you know, he treated him like God, you know, Krishna. And then Krishna noticed that he was hiding something behind his back. What is that? Have you brought something for me? And then he was a little reluctant. Oh, he was so impressed by Krishna and all his opulence. And then Krishna says, no, give it to me. So he gave it, and Krishna took it. And then Rukmini, she said, what is that? You know, and she snapped it from Krishna's hands, I believe. Yeah, and he said, I want some of that nectar too. So ultimately, when the time was over of the visit, he went back home. And on the way, he was even more in ecstasy. Ecstasy is always increasing, by the pure devotees in the Krishna Lila, isn't it? An ever-increasing transcendental ocean of bliss. So he was walking, and then he remembered, I forgot to ask him about our poverty, to do something about it. And my children are starving to death. But anyway, it's so fortunate, it's all so auspicious that it doesn't matter. I've seen Krishna. So then he approached his home, and then he saw that everything changed into Vaikuntha, practically. His small changed into a palace. His wife wore the most fancy, expensive saris, and his children, they were playing with toys, and they were smiling and eating nice prasad, and so that is in Krishna Lila like that. And so there's many stories of that. So how to get rid of the... I think I go on just a little longer, you know, just a little longer. Is that all right? Is that okay? 10 minutes? Yeah, okay. How to get rid of the material desires and develop the spiritual desires. So then we come to the second part, another hour of the class, but I have to do it very quickly. Then we come to text 177, the present verse. Can read it again. By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada describes the whole process here in the purport, and there is in the Nectar of Devotion, there is the famous verse which describes the whole process from Shraddha to Krishna Prema. Ado Shraddha tata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya tato nartan vritisha tato nishtaro chistata ata saktistato bhavastata prema vyudain chati sadakanam ayam premna pradurbhavi bhavetkramaha. Yeah, it starts. And there is a wonderful book we have in ISKCON. And if you want to become successful in spiritual life, then there is a very nice opportunity. This book, it is highly recommended, called Madhurya Kadambini, The Cloud Bank of Nectar. And the author is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it's all about this whole process. Cloud Bank of Nectar. In the beginning, he offers his respects to Srila Rupa Goswami, and he quotes also this verse that I just quoted. Ado Shraddha tata sada sanguta bhajana kriya, this verse. So he got his inspiration also from Rupa Goswami. And So this book contains 8 chapters describing the 8 clouds of nectar. You know, sometimes you see clouds in the sky, that's called a cloud bank. And we hear every morning, Samsaradava Nalalida Loka, you know, that the spiritual master is receiving benedictions from the ocean of mercy. And just as a cloud pours water on a fire, forest fire, to extinguish it, so the spiritual master extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. So clouds sometimes can give some nectar. Instead of rain, nectar. Nectar means to get rid of all the nonsense, to get instead of that eternal spiritual Krishna conscious life. Nectar, you know, that's our meaning of the word nectar. So 8 clouds, they give showers of nectar, and they are entitled in the first shower is called Super Excellence of Bhakti. It really describes how bhakti is superior to any other process, bhakti to Krishna. In the second shower, he gives different steps from of bhakti, from shraddha, sadhu sangha, to bhajana kriya. In the purport, Prabhupada is describing very nicely these steps. And I can read this again, then we can, let me see. Devotional service is always dormant in everyone's heart. And by the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. This awakening to Krishna consciousness is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This can be divided into many different parts, including faith. So faith is shraddha, association with devotees, sadhu sangha, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service, bhajana kriya, under the instructions of a spiritual master, steadiness in devotional service, nishtha, and the awakening. There is also, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service, steadiness is nishtha, and the awakening of a taste is ruchi. And in this way, one can become attached to Krishna and his service, that's ashakti. Somewhere within between is anartha nivritti. Yeah, it's right after bhajana kriya, I think. Bhajana kriya, and then ruchi, then taste comes. Yeah. So then there is. In this way, one can become attached to Krishna, ashakti, and his service. And when this attachment is intensified, that is bhava, it results in ecstatic love for Krishna, prema. The word rati is explained, a taste for Krishna consciousness, actually. The emotions, the feelings, the longing, the fourth cloud is called Nectar Begins to Flow. The fifth shower of nectar is called Attainment of Taste. The sixth shower of nectar, Enchantment of the Heart. The seventh shower of nectar, Flowing of Supreme Bliss. And the eighth shower of nectar, Fulfillment of the Heart's Desire. So I guess I have to stop here. This book is like a mirror. When we read this book, we will see it's like a parameter. So by following the process of devotional service, we develop the anarthas go away. Anarthas, the aparats are going away. Kleshas go away. Anarthas means unwanted desires. The aparats means offenses. Kleshas means the miseries we create. And, they all disappear gradually. And they are all described in fine detail, so we can see where we are. Very important in self-realization is to know where we are at, who we are, where we are, how we are conditioned, what is our... This book really makes us humble. Humility is not something artificial. We have to get to see, you know, what are my anarthas? So many anarthas are described here, like lust and envy and greed and desire for fame and fortune and so many things. Ignorance, laziness, drowsiness, madness. So many things are there in us, you know, and they're all described here. And Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not a sentimental faith. It is the science of God. So this is science, you know. And you can, you know, science means theory, our scriptures, experiment, putting it into practice in our daily life, and then observation, we see the results. Some results will be there. The result of theory and experiment. And the result is ultimately Krishna Prema. So this book also in the end gives amazing things about the higher levels, you know, information about the higher levels. And it is in one sense a little bit like, it makes us humble. I'm not there at all. All the anarthas, oh my God, I have to work hard. It makes us humble. And on the other hand, it encourages us. What is there to come? So much auspiciousness. Now, I'd like to thank you very much for listening for a little bit too long. For that I spoke a little bit too long. Thank you very much. We have one more minute for a very important question or a very amazing comment. Okay. Anyone? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay.